Rachel Kushner's first novel, Telex from Cuba, transported readers to pre-revolutionary Cuba. Her second, The Flamethrowers, immersed readers in the New York art scene of the 70s. Both were finalists for the National Book Award. Her latest book, The Mars Room, is set in a women's prison in California, where we meet Romy Hall, a former stripper from San Francisco who's been sentenced to 2 consecutive life terms for killing a man who'd stalked her. Rachel Kushner joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking about Romy. She's smart. She's unapologetic about some very bad choices she made. I was wondering if you could start by just reading a little bit from the book. I want to give listeners a sense of her character and also your writing style.
Sure. I had an income from stripping and could afford to buy what I wanted, which was drugs. And if you have never tried heroin, I have news for you. It makes you feel good about yourself, especially in the beginning. It makes you feel good about other people. You want to give the whole world a break, a time out, a tender regard. There is nothing so soothing. My first dabble in it was morphine, a pill that someone else melted in a spoon and helped me inject, a guy named Bill, and I hadn't thought much about him or what the drug would be like, but the careful way he tied off my arm and found my vein, the way the needle went in, so thin and delicate, the whole experience of this random guy I never saw again shooting me up in an abandoned house was exactly what a young girl dreams love can be.
It's Rachel Kushner reading from her book, The Mars Room. Where did Romy come from? I read that parts of her childhood overlap with your own. Made me wonder how much of you is in Romy.
Well, it's not so much that my actual biographical life maps one-to-one to the narrator. She's more like an homage to people I was very close to at that time, and she's from my neighborhood and knew my friends and lived in the world in which I lived.
And why was it important to pay homage to them?
Well, I don't know if it was so much important, but it was the way that I knew to do this book. Because for me, it's a book about California, and California is a place where many poor people end up ensnared in the criminal justice system. And once they go there, they're invisibilized to, you know, middle-class society. And in order to fully inhabit the character and spirit of this woman who goes, I needed to be able to understand her prehistory. And in order to do that with authority, I needed to make her from somewhere that I understood.
There's a wealth of detail in your book. Very specific things like how women on death row communicated with each other through the toilet system, how party punch was made from ground-up painkillers and how the women acquired these painkillers. Can you talk a little bit about how you did the research for this, about what life was like in California's prisons?
I know many people in prison. I've become very close to people who are serving life sentences. And I wouldn't really call that closeness a form of research. It's more like I have a life, and in my life I do certain kind of social justice work that involves people serving life sentences. And many of those people have become mentors to me, and I have really valued their expertise and tried to honor it in my own work. Hearing from people who've spent a lot of time in what's called administrative segregation in California, which happens to be above death row, was fascinating to me because they know how death row works. And no one who hasn't spent time in administrative segregation or death row itself would know about that because it's like this inner sanctum sanctorum of the secret proceedings of the prison. And I was stunned to learn that the women down there sow sandbags for flood control in California. So learning details like that for me seemed like they could have symbolic importance for letting people in the outside world know that this is a world and that it's very intricate.
And this is the Chowchilla State Prison in the Central Valley?
Yeah, that's correct. It's called the Central California Women's Facility.
What lessons did you learn from them? You said they were your mentors. What are the lessons from these inmates that people might find surprising?
I think one of the most surprising things I learned was when I was trying to advise somebody who was preparing to go before a parole board. And I read all these guidelines that public defenders had put together in terms of training somebody who's going before a parole board to exhibit insight into their crime. And the proverbial insight is of utmost importance to the people on the parole board in terms of whether or not they think somebody is ready to be released to the public. And I mentioned this to a formerly incarcerated friend, like, oh, I'm helping somebody and I think I can really help them understand their insight. And this friend of mine said to me, if you exhibit perfect insight to a parole board and tell them about your crime and the details of it and what you were thinking of at the time and that you understand the horrific impact that it's had on the victims and the loved ones of the victim, you will remind those people of every reason why the state wanted to lock you up to begin with. And so what that did was alert me to this catch-22, that understanding is not necessarily going to be of benefit to somebody trying to argue for their own release.
Wow. In reading your book, it feels like chance plays a big part in Romy's life. We get the sense that if only one or two things had gone differently for her, she wouldn't be in prison. Do you think that's true of the women you encountered?
To some degree, yes. The fact is, it is almost entirely poor people who go to prison and serve long sentences there. But within the so-called problematic or unruly layer of the society, there are many exceptions. There are many people who do not go to prison and others who do. So inside of a pattern that predominantly ensnares poor people, chance does play a role.
You still feel a responsibility to the people that you met at this prison. Can you talk a little bit about your connection, the connection that you still have to them after this book?
Yeah, I feel like in a way my connection is stronger now to people than it was while I was writing the book. And that is mostly because I have more energy psychologically to focus on them because I'm finished with the book, which when you're in the middle of a novel, that world is so large and teeming for me that I'm holding all these different components of it at once in my mind. And I needed to focus on that entirely toward the end when I was reaching the finish. But now that I'm done, I can turn toward them and people are calling me. I'm writing people. A lot of people have cases pending, especially people who were convicted as adults when they were juveniles. And that law is in dynamic motion right now in California. So it's a somewhat exciting time in terms of helping connect people with pro bono lawyers and helping them keep their disciplinary record clean and prepare for parole board. And it's meaningful to me to do that. I learn from them. I try to give back. And that's a relationship that continues for me.
Did you expect that to happen or did that take you by surprise?
No, I actually expected that to happen because I never saw them as research subjects. It was more as if I was entering a phase of my life where I wanted to understand everything I could about this aspect of California, which is the way the society is structured. And some people go through the court system and end up disappeared into prisons. And I wanted to live a life where I was reckoning in my own private personal way with that system and trying to see these people. So I always assumed that opening up relationships with people serving life sentences would be relationships that I would continue, partly for the fact that these are very vulnerable people. And if you get to know them, that relationship should continue for them. And they're people I like enormously. So even though it's structurally a challenge to have friends who are locked away deep in the Central Valley, I'm up for that challenge.
Would you consider your book a hopeful book? A kind of, I don't know, do you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel?
Do I think that there is hope for people who've been given life sentences? Not right now, maybe not in my lifetime, perhaps someday. I think the only answer that I could really come up with is for people to find some way in which their life can have significance that surpasses the unit of an individual existence. But in terms of like going up against the prison, I think of the movie Cool Hand Luke. I don't know if you're familiar with that film. But, you know, in order for Lucas Jackson, the protagonist, to win the battle with the warden, he has to be willing to lose everything.
Right. Rachel Kushner, her novel is The Mars Room. Thank you.